The Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
Hi and hello and happy Thanksgiving, football fans, and welcome to the Dave Damaschek Football Program, presented as always by our pals over at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Hope you're all set here. Delicious. At the time of this recording, we're just a few hours away from official Turkey Day. Three games of football, and then, of course, your a chock-full slate, a cornucopia, appropriate for the season.
That's right.
Of Grand Pro Football action coming your way on Sunday. Much to get to. Let's say hello to everybody here in our not Studio 66, our living room.
Dave's
for our
home.
Video show.
The day before Thanksgiving, here we are.
That's right. If you happen to be listening, reminder, we, as always, are available as well for your eyeballs on YouTube. Track us down there at the NFL channel and look for the Dave Damaschek Football Program so you can see what we look like. Ooh. Instead of just hearing about it, go ahead and comment and all that jazz. Anywho, let's say hello, like I said I was going to just a second ago, all the way from Chicagoland. He's been all over football America, throwing baseballs. Now he talks about football and beyond. It's our old pal, Cole Wright. What's happening,
fella? Thanks for rolling out the red carpet and having me into your home. I appreciate this.
Certainly.
It's a great setup you have here.
I mean, I want you to be comfortable, but you know, maybe you've taken it too far with your outfit, you know?
Well, what does that mean?
The hat backwards?
I
essentially had the same thing on as you, but I mean,
love Colt's hoodie. Where did you get that
from? What's wrong with it? Yeah, NFL shop.
You did?
NFL 100.
That's right.
Good for you. Let's talk about that.
They give you free stuff.
I mean, not a Hall of Fame, a Canton hat. How about that?
You're thinking hardball once again.
Once again. You had me sidetracked, Dave.
And then let's also say that you heard his voice already, all the way from London, England. He serves as our resident Miami Dolphins fan, tepid at this point, though that loyalty may be, at best.
NFL 100 logo on there.
There he goes. It's Handsome Hank. How are you?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm well.
I'm fine. To be called NLF UK Hank, as the graphic said at the beginning as well. That's good.
NLF?
NLF.
Do you have any equivalent of Thanksgiving over in the UK?
No, we don't. We have nothing really to give thanks for.
Not thankful for anything.
So we're just like, yep, we'll just keep trucking, you know, all the way through November, December, year round.
Maybe
no Independence Day, because we were already independent. We kind of came up with the whole concept of being independent.
Well, no. I like the idea that, you know, that we were here.
Yes.
In our lifetime, we were here to see. I mean, for all of man's recorded history has come and gone, but only around the turn of the millennium from 99 to 2000 did some genius say, you know what, chocolate is great and salt is great, but when we put them together, even better. I feel like maybe when Brexit goes down, maybe you could start like a turkey tradition in the UK.
Who knows? Maybe we'll have Brexit. Brexit in itself is a bit of a turkey, so maybe we would sort of celebrate it that way.
Don't disparage my most beloved American holiday. We'll dig in.
I think Thanksgiving, by the way, I think tomorrow is the most exciting day of the year for me now that I'm in America.
Really?
Because I'm discovering a new holiday. Again, for that reason, it didn't exist before. So for me, I feel like I got given something that was not mine, and I'm thoroughly willing to take it on board because it takes on a lot of the things that I'm keen on, like eating food.
Well, that and
small
football.
Treats.
Small treats.
Yep. And watching football.
All of those
things. This, let's keep in mind, whatever the origins. If you look up the origins of Halloween, it's some pretty dark stuff.
It is.
Same thing. Okay, Thanksgiving. What the origins are, have no matter to me in the 21st century.
Right.
What I care about is it's football and it's food, and that's what the whole holiday is about. What's not to love about that? Cole Wright, what's your most beloved thing to eat at Thanksgiving?
Oh.
The turkey. I'll remind you, of course, the stuffing is key. And
it's
as we've argued here and championed for many moons on this program.
I'm not going to go crawfish. Because remember one year I said crawfish?
Right.
But we were just throwing things out. I didn't say that was what I go for. I'm just saying that they are on some feast tables on Thanksgiving.
I was just, if I may self-promote for a moment, I just sat in, as I do every week, with Adam Carolla on his show, and we do Good Sports, the segment, and we did our annual Thanksgiving food draft.
Right.
And with the first round pick that he had, the first round pick, forget Cole Wright's, I mean, horrible bending of the rules.
This isn't my, I just said it was just a suggestion.
Crawfish on the show.
Once we started going down some dark paths.
Adam Carolla is it parks his car in the same garage as you, apparently, Cole Wright, because with his first pick, after I had taken turkey and somebody else had taken gravy and everything first else, pick. His pick was, I'd like some beef brisket with some horseradish sauce.
Well, so, yeah.
See, well, that's it. Now you're just listing foods you like to eat.
That's not
a Thanksgiving thing. You don't get to do that.
Are there rules?
If the holiday, to your point, if the holiday is now about eating and football, and that's about it, maybe speaking to loved ones as well, then like why actually, like, turkey, you only eat it in America, as far as I am aware, once a year. So, which implies it's probably not a great product. It's not like a top.
I had some turkey meatloaf just last night for dinner.
Okay, well, I apologize to you, Cole, but but it's probably not a top five meat. If the holiday is really about that, why would you not say, okay, let's optimize this day and eat the thing that we like most of all, whether that's beef, whether it's meatloaf.
We have a lot of games to pick here for week 13, right. But now you've required
turkey slander.
And I want to talk about
a top five meat. It sounds like slander.
Oh, come on.
Meat.
There's no way that's.
Turkey's delicious.
Dave, shush.
Let's get to it because I also want to talk about the all-time running backs list that was unveiled last Friday night.
Turkey is a bit like Dutch clock.
I know how to prioritize in life. Handsome, you have the first pick. Let's go through it. Eddie Spaghetti, get ready. Sure. Let's draft meats and see what order they go in. Handsome,
beef.
You get the first pick.
Boom.
Beef.
Yeah.
Cole Wright.
This is for just any day of the week or for Thanksgiving?
No, we're going to see if Handsome's point holds water.
You know what? Just to poke holes in it.
No,
I'm going turkey.
No, you can't.
But it doesn't rightly make the top five.
Would you feel happy
turkey's
that
delicious.
You just put turkey on your team?
That's
you've got turkey for the next 20 years, Cole.
That's fine. There's
you're hoping that this
Cole,
is a starter. This is a long time.
Turkey soup.
Cut your beak despite your face. Swine for me, spaghetti.
I'm going to go shellfish.
Shellfish, good.
Okay.
What kind, though?
I mean, are you going
I can't get brisket, so I'll go, like, scallops to me are amazing.
I'm with you.
Crab, lobster. I get all of that.
Which one's better, king crab or lobster?
Oh, Alaskan king crab.
Now you're
we're not ranking within rankings.
Absolutely. He's got it.
Okay. Does it come back down to me?
I mean, Cole's clearly the loser out of those four picks there.
What?
It's not even the top
because
poultry.
You're now stuck with turkey. You couldn't even.
What's wrong
that's
with
exactly
that?
Right. Because chicken is better than turkey.
Why?
Because it is. It tastes nicer.
I don't know why. Why are the Patriots better than the Bengals?
Just better coached.
It's just easier.
Chickens are better coached than turkeys.
It's a smaller bird. Easier to corral.
Well, I mean, no, it's not that.
Imagine if you had a giant farm just full of turkeys everywhere.
Can I tell you something else?
I don't know what we're talking about.
Of course, Handsome knows that this is true because his people do well with this particular brand of meat. Lamb is better than turkey.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
No way.
Lamb is better than turkey. And here's where we go too far, a bridge too far. And then this leads us into football talk because his name is being buzzed about. Duck Hodges. Duck versus turkey.
It's a greasy meat. It's a greasy.
Doesn't matter. I'd still rather have.
You'd rather
turkey.
Have duck than turkey.
Duck than turkey.
That goes a little too far for me.
I would eat. I tell you what. I'd eat a goose ahead of a turkey as well. There you go. Turkey, not even a top five poultry meat.
That's outrageous.
It's gone one deeper.
Blasphemous. I'm gonna summon a flock of turkeys.
Happy Thanksgiving, and don't forget the stuffing. Enjoy it, and then remind everybody, all your loved ones at the table, instead of debating politics, or at least carve out some space in the turkey talk. To also work in the need to add stuffing to every menu in America year-round.
And green bean casserole.
And also, as much as I love stuffing, the most important thing, aside from the turkey, is the quality of the gravy. That's the most important element.
It's true.
Even more than the mashed potatoes.
Right.
Mm. All right, so happy Thanksgiving to all. Enjoy the football games. Mm. We'll be picking those for you in just a second. Those, and we'll start with the Sunday games, just in case you're tuning in after your Thanksgiving feast. But right now, let's jump into Fresh Takes, presented again by our pals at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. I don't know if they serve turkey there.
It's further proof. The guys at Zaxby's aren't like turkeys.
Zaxby's have this booming business built around chicken. There's no equivalent for turkey.
There's no turkey.
I'm going to open the first turkey plate. Turkey fingers.
Good luck with that.
Right. I mean, how could you go to a state fair and not have a turkey leg? They don't have. Do they have State Fairs across the pond there? See?
No. And if they did, they wouldn't serve turkey legs. Believe me.
That's what you're missing out on. See?
Here's today's question. Cole Wright, I saw you buzzing about it last weekend. Mm-hmm. I was too. I know Handsome Hank has some strong opinions on it. The NFL is unveiling its 100 greatest players of all time, all the way back to the
That's
start.
Not what it is it? It's the 100th year team. It's not
100th
the
100th year team. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Stay incorrect.
It's not NFL quite. No. I just want, because there was also a 100 greatest players thing.
I'm sorry. This is about stay incorrect, and I apologize for that. So right out of the gate, off to a weak start. But Cole Wright, that notwithstanding, what was your reaction to some of those names that we saw on there? There are 12 names in there, and it went through. It's funny because about 5 years or so ago, I ranked out my Super Bowl era guys.
Yep.
And it went, if I remember off the top of my head, and because I'm vain, I'll give them to you right now. It was Walter Payton, Eric Dickerson, then Barry Sanders, then Tony Dorsett, then Earl Campbell, O.J. Simpson, LaDainian Tomlinson, Marshall Faulk, and Adrian Peterson.
No room for Emmitt Smith, the all-time leader.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yep, I had Emmitt Smith at number 9. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you for that fix there. These guys who came up with this list, the blue ribbon panel, included guys like Dutch Clark.
Yeah, you didn't have Dutch Clark in your top 10?
I didn't have Dutch Clark because, as a reminder, all the curmudgeons who, or the historians nominally, remind you constantly, the 1958 NFL championship game is the greatest game ever played because it made pro football relevant. When Johnny Unitas vanquished the New York Giants in overtime, it raised the profile of football, and to that point it had been a minor league sport. All right, so then by that logic, then everything that happened prior to that game is less relevant than everything that followed it. How say you? Dutch Clark, you Lenny Moore, those kind of guys.
You have to commend a guy like Dutch Clark. I mean, he played football in the evening and baled hay in the morning. I mean, when you have two jobs and you pull a double.
Right.
I don't think Dutch Clark really baled hay, but I mean, what,
maybe
what was
he
it
did.
Red Grange? Like, Red Grange, what was his nickname? The Iceman of Wheaton. Like, my aunt lives in Wheaton, Illinois. He delivered ice and then played football? Like, he had 21 career
was
touchdowns.
Was that actually his nickname?
The Iceman of Wheaton. Red Grange, the Iceman of Wheaton. Like I said, my aunt lives in Wheaton. Yeah. I don't know if I deliver an ice.
What part of Chicago did you grow up in?
I grew up all over Chicago.
All over Chicago.
Not really.
You're the turkey Joliet man of Chicagoland, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Is what your name's going to be.
Hey, I'm going to open a turkey restaurant in Chicago, and I'll get the last laugh.
Handsome, which one upset you the most? What was the biggest omission or biggest inclusion that you thought
I watched it. I love the idea of it, and I'm really excited about
so it's
about
fun
watching
about these
it.
Kinds
it's
cool,
and it's cool. Honestly, it's cool. Like, Bill Belichick is on the show. You should tune in because it's kind of cool to have him in that situation. But then they had a panel afterwards that was going to comment on it. And sitting on this panel is LaDainian Tomlinson, who is my favorite running back, certainly of the last 15 years to watch. I really loved LT. I loved how he went about his business. And the fact that he brought to the game, you know, he was a receiver, he was a running back, he was a kind of all-around weapon and was able to do that pretty much throughout his career. So he's sitting in this room, and I'm pretty sure, because I know the secrecy around this team, he didn't know whether or not he had made it or not. And then he's sitting there, and he's not on it. And LT is definitely one of, you know, ahead of the guys you mentioned, Lenny Moore, Dutch Clark, whoever else. LT should be on that team. And so he's sitting there having to react to something where it's like, this seems crazy that he's not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to one-up him, but I had to do Total Access on Friday, and the list of 24.
You just one-up me, Cole.
Well, I'm just saying how awkward it was for LT to be there and not be on that team.
Sure.
But there was a list of 24 that got whittled down to 12.
Right.
And I'm sitting here thinking, as soon as I got in to do the show, I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, Curtis Martin's going to be there. TD's going to be there. TD's on the show that day.
Right.
And TD wasn't even in the list of 24. I mean, 24, what is there, 33 Hall of Fame running back in the modern era? And TD's not even on the list.
With all respect, Curtis Martin owed to the great Terrell Davis, he wouldn't be in my top.
Yeah, top 24 running backs of all time?
Definitely
not in my top.
Yeah, he would. You know what?
So
he would
Red
be in my
Grange,
top 24.
Who had 21 career touchdowns.
No, he would.
TD had 21 touchdowns in 97.
Well, here are a couple things. First of all, Bill Belichick, I think, and I get where he would be coming from on this. If the exercise is let's put a team together, let's build the team, I think he took that too literally, in my opinion.
He's looking for some gunners for his special team.
Right. Like, Belichick is like Troy Brown and Mike Vrabel and otherwise. He likes guys that he can move around. like that. James White is kind of, in the modern day, is kind of his ideal running back.
Out, apparently.
That doesn't mean that he is the best running back in pro football. Yeah. I didn't like that. Lenny Moore, I know Bill Belichick probably has some pigskin X and O fantasy about how he would deploy Lenny Moore, but that doesn't, for me, mean that he should be ahead of Marshall Faulk and guys like that. I thought that that wasn't great. And the other thing that drives me crazy about exercises like this, I assume Bill Belichick, given his age and otherwise, he knows what Jim Brown looked like with his own eyes. But when people our age and younger start pounding the table for guys like Jim Brown about, you know, I've had arguments with people in hockey about hockey, like Bobby Orr's the greatest of all time. Like, how many games did you ever see Bobby Orr play?
Right.
Zero? Then how can you make much of a case for a guy that you haven't actually watched ever play a game? Loco.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think with regards to Bill Belichick, he's probably one of the three greatest football historians. Forget about football coaches. So I definitely respect his opinion on this stuff. But equally, I think if you said his LT, his Dutch Clark, they, you know, in their primes, they can both be on your team. I'm pretty sure he's going to
Dutch Clark didn't even have over 1,000 yards in his career, did he?
Well, he also was a quarterback, and I don't know what else.
That's a weapon.
That's what Belichick would swoon over. That makes sense, knowing what we know from afar about Bill Belichick.
He could go drop a kick when no one's expecting
it. The last dropkick specialist, man.
Right.
Terrific. And the guy's trying to tackle Dutch when he was running around the edge were basically people with the athletic ability of me. So how much stock am I supposed to put in that?
Wonder,
it was a minor league sport.
But you've said this often.
You've
said this often. I wonder if you could have played pro football in the 20s.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think you could have? You think you're real? I mean, like, I'm not disparaging your
If you drop 2019,
much?
Dave, no. Better yet, 2000, Dave. I'm trying to think Dave at
the peak
of his athletic powers. So I would say, yeah, probably about 98, 2000-ish.
Okay.
I think, yeah. I would be able to hack it, yeah.
How about
I would be a you know what? Not only would I be able to hack it, I would be a revolutionary quarterback.
Do you think Bill
if
Belichick
I came in there and said, like, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw it downfield. Do you think guys... Think,
that's true. They'd be like, whoa, look
what
at
is
this
that?
Guy.
Look
he's
at
changing
guy.
The game.
He's a witch. You know, people would be... Eddie
magistry.
Spaghetti, any thoughts there?
I mean, just for me growing up with Ladainian Tomlinson, I don't get how you pick. And the athletes today are just simply better than they were years ago. So when you think all-time team, you want the best athletes. Ladainian Tomlinson is one of the best athletes I've ever seen, period.
Well, better, but at minimum, better conditioned than their predecessors. And the thing that I think also, so let's assume that Dutch Clark had all the resources, training and otherwise, year-round to get ready to play pro football. The difference is that the best athletes in society didn't play football. They played baseball or they boxed or otherwise. It was a minor league sport. That's why it doesn't hold much water. It's trying to use baseball kind of logic for pro football here, and it just doesn't apply. Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and all those guys were around in a different era. Baseball mattered more 100 years ago than football mattered.
Didn't Lou Gehrig play football at Columbia?
I don't know.
I believe so. He chose
terrific.
Baseball, to your point.
Right.
To your point.
Right.
That's it.
Anyhow,
I suspect these types of debates are going to come up throughout this
that's
show.
What I guess that's the point of it, and now we're pushing back.
Yeah.
And yet, then they have, to your point, they have LaDainian, and they have Maurice Jones-Drew and Terrell Davis talking about that, and those guys suffer from recency bias, in my opinion, and there's this giant swath of guys that are being ignored in the 60s and 70s who those guys never saw play. And I feel like the main example of that is Tony Dorsett for me. Tony Dorsett, talk about a guy that Maurice's point is, oh, without Marshall Faulk and LaDainian Tomlinson, you're not seeing these backs catching the ball out of the backfield. There would be no Alvin Kamara. Guess what? Without Tony Dorsett, there's no Marshall Faulk and LaDainian
Marcus
Tomlinson.
Allen is another name that was not mentioned on that show
that's
at all.
Crazy.
And it's like,
that's
Marcus
a
Allen
one.
In his prime was redefining the game.
Yeah,
you're so right.
TD had him as a shoe-in for his final 12, which he did not make that.
Boy, that is a loco omission. I didn't catch that one.
Thanks, Dave.
There were no players drafted after Emmitt Smith. He was the last player drafted that was on that list of 12.
Yeah, I guess Adrian Peterson should be fringy in that conversation, but I'm trying to think of anybody of the 21st century who would deserve that. I don't know about Curtis Martin, too, just to prove that I'm not just going all
the way. A list of 24, though, you would think.
Nah,
a list of nominees?
Not in the top
24. I mean, no, he just ran for 1,000 yards first 10 years of the league.
I like Curtis Martin. I watched him play when I was a youth. I went and watched him toil in the pit blue and gold. Mm. I'm just saying, in the top 24, you have to make some tough cuts.
Yikes.
All right, so there you go. Thus ends Fresh Takes, presented again by Zaxby's. And now let's jump into a more immediate concern, and that is Week 13, some very juicy games for us to hammer through here. It's time for the Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks!
Come on, Cole. Why didn't you sing?
I mean, I didn't want to mess the jingle up.
Well,
you guys now have you have to do a solo.
You've got to do it by yourself.
Now no music or anything, just sing it a cappella.
Come on, you can do it.
Come on, Turkey.
Come on, do it.
What are we calling it?
Come on, Turkey Cole.
Red Challenge Flag Picks!
That's good, you're in, you're like part of the band.
Oh, how did we forget that? Cole Turkey. That's your new name, Cole Turkey.
that's what we'll call the restaurant. The restaurant.
Yes.
That's what we'll call it. Tremendous. You
know, I don't think that's going to help business. No. What if I want it nice and
roasty?
Where
are you going? I'm going to Cold Turkey.
What if it sweeps the nation? I was going to give you a cut too, Dave.
Cold Turkey.
No more. No more turkey cuts for you.
No, I'm a Zaxby's guy.
I'm a Zaxby's guy, man.
All right, you get the first pick, though, and we're going to go to an AFC. And like I say, these games, we're getting to the point now. We're at the point now where these games have major import, and it just so happens that these head-to-heads in Week 13 will put some teams out of the playoffs. Some teams will get a bye as a result, potentially, of the results here in part. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the red-hot Tennessee Titans going into Indianapolis to play Jacoby Brissett and the Colts. Cole Wright, choose.
I'm going to have to go with the Tennessee Titans. I like the way that Ryan Tannehill's been playing lately. It's great.
I like how Ryan Tannehill's playing too. Handsome, you're going to eat it?
I'm going to eat it. I like the Titans. I'm not going to eat any turkey, but I have to.
Everybody's on board with the Titans, and I'm the one who said a month ago, you know what? I think the Titans are going to end up getting the sixth seed in the AFC.
And now you're calling them why? What are you seeing from the Colts that you like them more than the Titans here?
Well, you could have put my eye out with that.
Well, I think I think that the Colts, tough one. I was surprised, but, pretty tight affair down there in Houston last Thursday night. I like the I continue to say there's no update, really, that I can give on why I like the Colts over the Titans, except to say, and I did say in September August, as Spaghetti can confirm, that by mid-October, it would be Ryan Tannehill's team, no longer Marcus Mariota. And the only mistake is that they were going to let Marcus Mariota get out there for a month or 6 weeks before making that change. And that's what's going to keep them out of the playoffs. They are better with Ryan Tannehill, but still, I like the way the Colts are constructed within that division. They have the best defense by a lot, and they have the best offensive line. No Marlon Mack, and Derrick Henry gives them a major advantage at that particular position. But at the end of the day, I will ride with what I've said since opening day. The Colts, at top to bottom, are the superior team. Simple as that. Handsome?
I respect your opinion on that, but I think that the Titans, I've been waiting forever. I remember going to the NFL Combine in Indy and being down on the field and seeing Derrick Henry in person and just being like, this guy can't possibly be playing running
back.
Like, he's gigantic. There's no way he plays running back in the NFL. He's weird. It is weird when you see him. Like, that's weird. And then forever waiting for Derrick Henry to deliver on that. And it really is, like, in the last month, suddenly you get, okay, this is what Derrick Henry could be.
This is the perennial thing with him, though. Handsome.
Well, he's done it late in the season.
Always, the second half of the season.
Second half of the season, but never as consistently as he has done over the last month. So you've got that where, like, this guy is something that you have to worry about. You have Ryan Tannehill playing as well as he's ever played in his career, partly because I think he has a running back and because those receivers are...
They're really good and talented. Yes.
Like a talented but kind of under-the-radar receiving core. And finally, their offensive line is sort of playing up again. They've got the pieces there to be good. So I think they're going to continue to pile up points, and I don't think the Colts can match them on that front.
While Marlon Mack is an absence, although you did see a couple of guys look pretty good running behind that offensive line. So, I think, the loser of this one is going to be kind of behind the eight ball, or at least be essentially out of any chance of getting the division and catching the Texans.
Only one team last year was below 500 after week 12.
The Jags are finished, right? Yeah.
So the Eagles from a season ago.
And the Colts, as I look at their record at 5-6, it's almost surprising that they're under 500 at this point. So this is basically trying to keep themselves not just in contention for the division, but realistically, it would seem, for a wild card spot, given the way things are shaping up.
If only they'd beaten the Dolphins in that game, then everyone would be happier.
Well, you know what? That's the Brian Hoyer.
You're a Dolphins guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, but I kind of wish they'd lost the game. Mm.
All right.
Next up, it's the, I think, Super Bowl 47 redo. It caused an argument 1 week ago with Handsome Hank and Matt Money Smith.
An argument, huh?
We argued with Dave.
They
Dave
have to get pretentious what with me about how I don't understand vocabulary.
Whoa.
No, and we didn't. That's not
was
what,
that the ironic?
Yeah.
That was the ironic. Okay.
And then Dave, and then I walked in here earlier just to pull on Wednesday morning, I walked into this room and said to Dave, hey, you know, kind of a coincidence, but it looks like you got completely outvoted by the people of America when I put a vote on Twitter. Does Dave, you know, if you listen to this show, does Dave understand the difference between irony and coincidence? And Dave's response, and I hate to say this to people who are listening, but was that you should know by now Americans are stupid and don't understand those type of questions.
Wow.
Which I found to be, quite honestly, not something
not
that
Americans,
I
want. Not Americans, people
no,
are stupid.
Well, people. It's people like, who listen to this show, I guess, by extension is what you were talking about.
No, those are your...
I did not agree
accurate,
with that.
To be accurate, though, those are your followers. You tweeted out the question, so your followers... must be inordinately dumb, or not know their vocabulary at least. Well, maybe they're math whizzes or something.
Irony is like a traffic jam when you're already late, and a no smoking sign on your cigarette break, isn't it?
A whole generation of people got sideways because of Alanis Morissette. But
her
of
Dave
course,
Coulier.
The only so anyway, it's the Niners and it's the Ravens tracking towards each other. Potentially for a Super Bowl. They both certainly have a shot at getting to this Super Bowl in Miami. And my point was, just to quickly review, was that it would be ironic if Greg Roman, who coached Colin Kaepernick in that offense, now coaching Baltimore, took down the 49ers in the Super Bowl, running essentially that same kind of offense. Mm-hmm. That's what you called getting hoisted on your own petard, which was by the bard William Shakespeare.
Oh,
who I believe everybody
when did Shakespeare last do anything relevant? I mean, like, bring him up in the conversation.
Fair. Either way, that is irony. That's the definition of irony. And so I was right.
It's a coincidence.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Anyway,
let's
49ers at the Ravens, a huge one for both teams. I think more so probably for the Niners at this point, but... you know, depending on how things shake out, I guess still a shot to host the entire AFC side of things for the Ravens if things break just right. But the Niners, no wiggle room as they try to stave off the hard-charging Seahawks. Handsome Hank.
I don't know. Last week on the show, I picked, I said that the Packers would beat the 49ers, and now, you know, thinking back a few days to Sunday night, just what we saw then, you know, it's fresh in my mind that did not work out exactly how I thought it was going to. But then the Ravens on Monday Night Football, I mean, that was an unforgettable game as well.
Great contest.
So,
striking stuff.
I'm going to have to pick... Oh, the Ravens. I'm going to go with the Ravens this Sunday in a couple days' time.
The Ravens at home against the Niners. All right, I'm going to throw it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm going to self-validate. Now, everybody's taking the Charm City's favorite, huh?
I'm going with them, too.
All right, so I'm a man on an island once again here.
You're a brave man. Dave, what is it? What?
Listen.
Why do you not believe in what you saw on Monday Night Football with your own two eyes?
I'll refer instead to what I saw the night prior, Sunday Night Football, what that team did to decimate that Packers attack, and why not be able to stuff this team? It's not like Aaron Jones got off against that mighty defensive front. The secondary looks much better than I would have given it credit, the Niners I'm talking about here. And it feels to me like the stumble, you know, think about what their one loss is. I mean, you know, if you took the brand name Patriot, the brand that is the Patriots and the brand that is the Niners as we perceive them to be with Jimmy Garoppolo flawed and so on and so forth. Who's really been the better team this year? We keep watching these Niners games in big time spots, in prime time, under the lights and otherwise. And with each one of those, the announcer somewhere in the fourth quarter will say, hey, this is really a validating win for these Niners. This makes you believe in them. How many of those do they need to get before people are going to start believing in them? The only one they lost was because it went to overtime against the Seahawks, and the guy missed a kick in overtime. Otherwise, they would be undefeated at this point. What more did the Niners have to do? It's because they haven't done it yet, and everybody suffers from this thing of like being able to express vapid cynicism, because if it hasn't happened yet, then that gives them the wiggle room to say, like, you think the Niners are that good? Like, yeah, if they win the Super Bowl, then we will turn around on that sort of logic, or if they get to the Super Bowl. In the meantime, Jimmy Garoppolo has played very well. That receiving core is emerging. And Jimmy Garoppolo, if he didn't look great against the Seahawks, it was because he didn't have his two best pass catchers out there in Emmanuel Sanders and, of course, all-pro tight end George Kittle. They're a completely different offense when you throw those guys out there.
Are you thinking there's that skepticism, though, because of what we've seen in the last few years? Because last season, who was that team that, you know, came from the basement all the way to the penthouse? It was the Chicago Bears. And there were questions with their quarterback play, Mitch Trubisky. We've seen what they've gone back to this season. The year before that, the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that went from ashy to classy real quick, just like that, but they couldn't get it done in the postseason. So that's why they need those validating wins. At least that's
what
I think.
Boy, man, that's a great point. And it really, and if you think about the construct of the 2018 Bears and the 2019 Niners, it's hard to kind of poke holes in that. I guess that's fine to go with that. I would push back with it. In the 21st century, there are a lot of teams that kind of rise up out of nowhere and make deep playoff runs.
But this Niners defense
is better than that Bears one. This Niners defense can beat you in more ways.
When they throw D Ford out there with Nick Bosa and the rest of those fellas, I mean, egads. It's dominant, man.
You think that this 49ers defense is better at this point through week 12? The Bears defense was through week 12 last year?
For all the headlines that Khalil Mack rightly deserved and how he landed in Chicago was a part of that story, Nick Bosa's unblockable.
He's
a rookie, and grown men cannot handle that guy. And then on the other side of things, you have all those other guys. If you do have to really go sort of like scheme as teams do against Aaron Donald and freeing up other guys, the difference is that the Niners are loaded all over the place. John Lynch built this defense up, and it is it's the best in football now, with the possible exception, I guess, of the Patriots.
And I thought I could have had, you know, my vision clouded a little bit. I went up there to Santa Clara and did for radio. I covered camp, and I left camp, and I'm like, man, this team could be really good. Their defense looks good. Their offense has enough moving parts where, you know, they could put enough points on the board, and the defense will hold you down. And then everyone told me, oh, it's because you went to camp. When you go to camp, every team thinks they're going to be great. I'm like, oh, so I thought I was a little delusional because of, you know, being right there in the mix of things. But
we all have that experience every August when we watch Hard Knocks. Yeah. We watch Hard Knocks and think, how is this team not going to be awesome?
They're all going to be winning.
Although I'm not sure the Raiders necessarily the gave Raiders, me that impression this year.
I didn't think the Raiders were going to get like smacked by the Jets like that, though.
Right.
I mean, did anyone think that?
I didn't think they would get hammered like that. I thought this was a tough spot for them.
That was very
And probably foretells tough times awaiting them on Sunday.
Yeah. It's almost a great segue, Cole.
You like
it's like you're a radio guy
almost.
Or a TV guy.
Or a TV guy.
Yeah.
He's not trying to do it, he does it.
That's right. That's right.
That's what you get.
Innate.
When cold turkey heats up. Right?
I mean, who wouldn't want some turkey fingers?
I like turkey fine.
With some Dijon spicy mustard.
I'm going to eat lots of turkey tomorrow.
Fingers.
And I'm going to eat it for several days after.
Right, in all its forms.
Unless the Bumpus dogs come in and get that turkey.
The eighth ranked meat out there.
Now it's all the way down to eight. Sheesh.
Ranked meat? Wow.
Eddie Spaghetti, here we go now. AFC West Classic. A beautiful uniform matchup. Better, of course, as I always will point out, when the Chiefs visit the Raiders. But still, handsome stuff to look at. By the way, Raiders at Jets look pretty good, too, in those new Jets uniforms. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, here we go. Oakland, KC, Spaghetti. Choose.
Listen, you got Andy Reid, coach team, coming off a bye. And you have the Raiders back-to-back weeks on the road. This one for me is pretty easy. And the Chiefs are still the class of the AFC West until they're no longer. So I'm going to stick with Mahomes and company.
Yeah, I mean, what am I going to say?
Well, it's hard
I'm going to argue with that.
Sold it. He sold it.
Well, here's the one thing that I have been a skeptic of these Chiefs all season. They can't stop people from running on them, and that's what the Raiders have done this year, is with Josh Jacobs, made all sorts of hay. What indication is there that the Chiefs, maybe after the bye, maybe they really focused in for a fortnight and they're going to look like a different defensive team or something and really force you to throw the ball against them? But I don't see the pieces on that defense to make that so.
Did the Jets put a blueprint out there? I know they had that number one run defense, and I know that Kansas City does not. But you think that they put somewhat of a blueprint out there on how to stop Josh Jacobs?
I think that, that's an interesting point. And by the way, just apropos of nothing we're talking about here, but Spaghetti and Handsome were talking just before we got mm-hmm. going about Chase Young and how that's the piece that you really want to add if you're one of the bottom five teams. That's the guy you covet more than any of these quarterbacks. I will point to Quinnen Williams and say that was the guy who was 100%. There's no way. That's the most certain guy you can draft in the 2019 draft, and he's been very quiet.
Sure,
I'm a little skeptical about that.
Yeah, but
just as a side
defensive
note,
tackles are not loud. I mean, that's not what you're hoping for from your defensive tackle. You want a guy who can engineer you to have the number one run defense.
I think that, yes, listen, I have been a cynic about these Chiefs, but at home, coming off the bye, we don't need to belabor this. Andy Reid always wins coming out of the bye, and that's that.
The one thing, though, when we last saw them in Mexico City, shout out to Mexico City, a week ago, that did not look like the Chiefs' offense at, you know, firing.
It did for about
cylinders.
Like 4 minutes, it did, right.
Exactly. We lost Tariq Hill, who may be back, but they didn't look like what everything you expect to see.
See how he threw that shout out to Mexico City?
Is he I'm trying to represent.
He's trying to get some more swag.
Amigos.
I didn't get one of those jackets.
It's his life's work.
I can get you one if you'd like, Cole.
I've never even been invited to an international series game.
Let's talk afterwards.
Oh. Cole, this is just a little hobby that he indulges. DDFP and it's just a little.
Turns out this is, I don't get paid for this. Like for this bit of my job.
This is his life's work.
You paid
him. Spreading the good word.
Paid in experience.
I don't get paid.
Rich.
In
experience.
No liquor changing hands. Yeah.
Here we go. Libations. Patriots, one of the teams that they have owned in the 21st century. The Houston Texans, always relevant. Bill O'Brien. You wonder about whether that's a coincidence or if it's that Bill Belichick didn't teach the guys who learned at his knee everything that he knows, but just most of those things. Handsome Hank, Pats, Texans, two division front runners. Choose.
I'm taking the Patriots. I'm never ever choosing against the Patriots again.
Eddie Spaghetti,
come on!
What are you seeing? Make your case for the.
What are you
all the way
seeing?
From New York City?
Yeah, a little short on that throw. Part of it is my bias towards the Patriots, but I know their defense is phenomenal. It is literally.
You mean
it's
against?
It's like
glad you at least are willing to admit.
I'm going on a limb here. I think the Texans need a big win. I think the Patriots are just like begging. You could see in these games, like the teams, if they do one extra thing right, they will beat the Patriots. Like the Cowboys were one play away from beating the Patriots, and even if Stephon Gilmore takes out DeAndre Hopkins, I still think Texans have enough weapons where they could figure it out. Tom Brady's, you know, having his worst season in probably over a decade. He's going games without throwing touchdown passes. So if the Texans can find a way to score some points at home, I think they're actually in okay shape.
If they could put up like 30-plus points, then it can happen. But I don't think Belichick's going to let them put up 30-plus points.
Like everyone thinks they're so close.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like we're right there.
He doesn't care. He's not he just wants wins. He doesn't care about the score.
I hear you, what you're saying, Spaghetti, but also that is what defines the 21st century Patriots, is that vexing feeling of whoever they're playing. It's like, if just one or two things would have gone our way, but they always go the Patriots' way, and that is definitely not a coincidence that's the way it works. They'll definitely take away Nuke Hopkins. You know that going in, that he will not be a factor in this game. So then how is that offense going to make its hay against the Patriots? Legitimately, though, on the other side of things, the Patriots ain't exactly a gangbusters offense at this point themselves. And last weekend, I brought that up on social media, and Patriots fans got very upset with me, but listen, don't be upset with me. Be upset with Father Time. Tom Brady is going to leave, and I asked the question, Cole, right? And I just am curious about your opinion. Will, if you were a Patriots guy, would you be in 2020? What if Andy Dalton went there? the new starter of the Cincinnati Bengals after a brief stint on the bench.
He's back.
What if Andy Dalton signs up in New England and goes 13-3 and wins the Super Bowl in 2020? I'm not saying that you would root against them if you're a Patriots fan.
What would the reason be?
But you'd be bummed out a little bit. You'd be like, it wasn't Tom all this time. It was, I guess it was more
this
Belichick.
Is if Tom steps away or?
If Tom.
Well, Tom doesn't sound like he's going back to New England. I don't know that.
Oh, but he's definitely going to be back.
You do think so?
Yeah.
You think he's the starting quarterback in 2020?
Yeah.
I think that's almost at this point less likely than him not being there.
He's not going to play for another team.
You really?
They're not going to let him play for another team. It's fine.
Then it would have to be not Willie Mays on the Mets.
If he wins the Super Bowl, he's more like to retire than he is to go play for the Chargers.
He said last Sunday. He said last Sunday that he still wants to play.
Well, then he's playing for the Patriots.
Then why wouldn't the Patriots want him to play for them?
Because he's a tick above, at this point, the way he's tracking, he's a tick above Peyton Manning in 2015. He's better than that, but that's the shape that this season is going now for these Patriots. Not to say that they aren't going to get to the Super Bowl. I don't know who's going to take them down in the AFC.
It's a rough patch. It's hard to hear.
Okay. It's interesting stuff. That's why I like talking about it. It's not directed at Patriots fans to undermine anything. Patriots fans get very upset.
Spaghetti loves that talk.
That I'm trying to insult Tom Brady or them or I don't know. It's very weird. Anyhow, Vikings Seahawks. That reminds me of the frigid game up in Minnesota at the U. Remember that playoff game about 4 or 5 years ago? That was a fun one. It's in this case, it's the Vikings at the Seahawks. Two very good teams.
Do you remember who started at quarterback for the Vikings in that game?
For the Vikings, it was Teddy B, wasn't it?
No, remember it was like, I think, wasn't it that game where they found out Webb, what was his name? John
it was
Webb?
Joe Webb?
Joe Webb suddenly had to start, like, last minute, got the call up
that
to start
rings a
in
bell.
That game.
Why can't I think of that? It was a playoff game. I can't summon that to
I don't
my
remember
memory.
Why, but I think that Joe Webb suddenly, like, an hour before, got the call to start.
And then Blair Walsh missed the kick.
Yep.
Yikes.
Right at the end there.
Bold stuff.
Vikings, Seahawks, cold turkey, choose.
I'm going to have to go with my MVP frontrunner, old Russell Wilson, and the Seattle Seahawks.
Kirk Cousins.
Wow, it's a clean sweep. No flags flying around here.
Not with that one.
You can't. I mean, look, Russell
Wilson.
At
the time of this recording, we don't know about Jadeveon Clowney's availability, and that was a great win in Philadelphia, but I feel like it kind of gets the asterisk because they couldn't – I mean, it was one of those weird – I mean, I hate to blame things too much on weather, but that really was a weird game. The ball was flying all over the place because of the wind.
I think Jadeve's going to eat some turkey and feel good.
Jadeve. Okay.
That's what I call him.
All right.
It's funny, too, watching on Sunday morning, it occurred to me that as good as the Seahawks are, and I started to look it up, and I got sidetracked because I'm dim and can't hold a thought in my head very long. I was thinking, what could they have done with that first-round pick? Who could they have had instead of Rashad Penny? And then Rashad Penny drops 100 and whatever on the Eagles. And it makes me glad I didn't push that out there. But still, that they're finding their running game, and you wonder what that means for Chris Carson and otherwise. But the Vikings' defense is really good. Dalvin Cook having a dynamite year. I am guessing Adam Thielen's going to be back and ready to go for this one. I mean, it'll be close because those games are close, but you have to, to your point, Cole.
You got to believe that Russell Wilson will find a way to pull it out.
As good as it gets. Yep. I mean, he's top flight.
And the Vikings now, you think like, two teams that are used to playing outdoors where we started when I referenced that playoff game. Yep. The Vikings don't count as that anymore. So advantage in this spot, advantage Seahawks as the weather starts to turn.
What did everybody say? They said for Kirk Cousins, it always takes, you know, a little bit of time for a quarterback to settle in under Mike Zimmer and that offense, because what is Mike Zimmer's wheelhouse? It's obviously its defense. So we're seeing Kirk Cousins settle in, and I mean, what he's been able to do the last few weeks, I mean, especially when you compare it to the first half of the season, I mean, I didn't see Kirk Cousins having a back half of the campaign like this. Did you?
I didn't, no. And it is sort of like I said, I keep wondering how much more do the Niners need to, who do they need to take on head-to-head and vanquish them before people say, like, okay, they're good. It's kind of having that feel to it with Kirk Cousins. All right, now go into Seattle and beat them and keep yourselves in the mix for the NFC North. Because if you do, then we are heading towards a great clash in Week 16 for the NFC North. Eddie Spaghetti, I notice here that you didn't put the Browns at Steelers down for the Red Challenge flag picks. What gives?
Oh, yeah. Was I supposed to put that that game in there?
Fascinating game. We'll skip it, though. Let's wrap it up here with the three Turkey Day games here. Do you guys play turkey bowls at your place?
It would be unfair.
For you?
Idea, yeah.
Against
yeah.
your little girl?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I mean, you know that.
Good
I mean,
dad.
I have her on the C24W workout as well, so.
This don't get me started about that job. Cole Wright, that's that.
What is this?
Oh, handsome. You got to listen to this. Cole Wright, I said.
She does it, not in the
I
same
I said, I
got to
lose some weight. I declared 6 weeks ago, I have to lose some weight.
You look good, fantastic, by
the way. Cole Wright said, that's how you know when you're a fat, by the way. This is what Cole said. This is Dave saying about me. You know how I know I'm a fat? I've lost like 10, 12 pounds, and I'm still a fat. That's when you know you really got yourself behind the eight ball.
Right.
Now.
Slender, lean.
Cole Wright said, oh, it's pretty easy. I keep myself in shape. It takes me 20 minutes a day. Tell the workout. Here's the difference.
24 minutes.
24 minutes.
Unless you're
Cole Wright,
really, really good.
Who, for the record, did play professional ball in his.
Minor.
Okay.
Very minor. League.
Professional ball.
Still professional.
Here's
get,
the difference between
yes.
that level of athlete and schnooks. And I don't think that athletes really fully can grasp what it, like, yeah, I can't, I'm not capable of doing that. It's why Ted Williams couldn't teach other guys to hit a baseball the way he could. Because there's a different level. Please,
did you
share
just,
the workout.
Did you just put me in the rare air of Teddy Ballgame?
Relative Ted,
the splendid
Ted Williams to major league batters, yes.
When,
Cole Wright to Dave Damashek. It's about that
steep. You always think about that. Ted Williams, Cole there. Wright in the same breath, don't you?
Yeah, no? Of course.
That's tell the us, Cole. Turkey, hot workout.
Are you comfortable giving this, like, that? You could probably be monetizing this information.
Well, hey,
sure
why not?
You want to give
I mean,
it away
it's free information
on,
right there. If you
the
want to make yourself a better you. Tap into the C24W.
I can't.
Tell me
everyone has the P90X.
There's
I
a
tell
easy
me what
chance
I need to do,
that this
Paul.
Workout I would die if I attempted.
Okay.
So,
well,
like, make me a better me, I'll be dead.
It up. Right. I mean, you can break it up whichever way you want to, whichever okay. way you see most feasible.
Okay.
But 2,000 revolutions on a jump rope. 100.
I can't even do a
come
jump
on.
Rope.
Come on.
I like the idea of a jump rope, but I always trip over
I'm with
the
you.
Third go.
Yeah, you look like you look like an 8-year-old girl with pigtails.
Counting to 2,000.
You count to 100 every time.
You count to 100
absolutely.
20 times.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then.
Okay, go ahead.
100 squats. No weights,
yep.
just free squats.
Yep.
Take them deep, though.
Go I
deep.
Always do.
Okay. Want to activate those hamstrings.
Yep.
Go ahead.
100 push-ups.
Okay.
And sure. 300 sit-ups.
In 24 minutes.
In 24 minutes. Wait.
It would take me 2 weeks
hours.
To do that.
Come on.
It would yeah. 20.
I did it one time. Well, sub 24 minutes, and I was in the garage, and I
again,
thought my wife and daughter
you.
Were going to come in the garage and find me dead on the floor, like of a heart attack.
But how often?
Hey,
how often do you do
hey,
this?
Mom, why is Dad not moving on the garage floor?
How often do you do this, Cole?
Well, if I don't get to the gym, that's what I do.
But so you don't do it in the gym. What are you doing?
No,
in the
I don't
gym?
Do that at the gym. I mean, like that's like you ever see the dudes that do like push-ups at the gym, like
yes.
stuff you can do at home. It's like, why'd you come to the
There's
gym to do that?
There's one guy in the gym that
why'd
I
you,
always
why'd
see.
You come
He's
to the
also,
gym to do stuff that you could do at your house? Mm. Stay at home for that.
Right.
I feel that I want.
Spaghetti
if,
feels me.
If I attempt this and then my body turns up a sweaty mess and or my clothing is a sweaty mess and underneath is my cold form, I want everyone within the sound of my voice to put together some sort of legal charge, a felony
right.
charge.
That's
involuntary manslaughter.
Involuntary
manslaughter for telling this pot-bellied buffoon to try do something that I'm not physically capable of doing.
Has anyone ever sued the Fitness Made Simple guy?
I don't
probably
even
not.
Know what you're talking about.
Was it John Abdo?
I want to know, put that as your next poll, Handsome Hank.
What?
Is there anyone who listens to the show outside of Cole Wright who's capable of doing that show?
There's
that
tons. There has
that
to be
That are not
tons
professional
of
athletes. Well, all right, let's get into it now. The turkey games. Let's start it off here. We'll blow through these quickly. Bears at Lions. Handsome Hank.
I'm going to take the Bears because good the ball. Lions are not very good.
No.
Well, I mean, not very good. That's yep. almost.
I don't think we need to go too much
that
deeper into
sense.
That game.
It makes a lot of sense.
Hey, thank you, Cole. I appreciate
it
that.
Does. It does.
The only pushback I'll give you on that is
the Bears aren't very good
Bears.
Either. I was anticipating that, and what I would say to that is that they're slightly better than.
Well,
the Lions
lost it to the Skins.
Right.
I
that's
mean,
what I'm saying.
My goodness, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
The Lions always find new and creative ways to lose, don't they?
Yep.
I mean, you can take little pot shots at your division rival, Chicago's own, but, I mean, Bears, one of the great disappointments in 2019.
They are. They've been disappointed.
We said, like, just like the Jacksonville Jaguars were 2 years ago. Things happen like that. Yep. Hopefully the San Francisco 49ers will suffer the same fate.
Let's jump
to the second game we're going to be watching tomorrow, Dave.
That's the signature game. I encourage you to build your meal plans around this game. Don't let it get in the way because you can... maybe kick it to the
The first 12 minutes of your workout during the first game tomorrow, and then the second 12 minutes of your workout you could do during the third.
I feel like you're mocking me.
I'm not mocking you.
You mock us. This is humble bragging. Okay. This is
Do them deep.
All you have to do. Okay. All you have to do is just work out like I do it. That's all. 24 minutes. Squats.
Well, I eat burgers all the time, so that's the only reason why I'm even. I have to work out.
Not turkey?
So I don't like a slob. Turkey extra slob.
I thought you would be eating turkey the way you...
Turkey burgers.
Yeah.
If you eat as many burgers as I do, you have to go with that lean meat. The eighth-ranked meat.
A back-to-back Super Bowl showdown here. It's the Bills and it's the Cowboys. Cole Wright.
You know, I like Sean McDermott's defensive unit. Like Eddie said, the Cowboys were just one play away from beating the Patriots, as they thought. But I think there'll be a few plays
that being one play away from beating the Patriots actually is enough to be able to beat the Bills in a weird way.
At home? You're down there in Texas where the stars of night are big and bright.
I get it.
Deep in the heart of Texas, Hank.
Yes. But I get it. But Josh Allen's, I've been wanting to doubt Josh Allen.
Why don't you throw your challenge flag at me?
That's right, handsome. Finish your thought. This is exactly right.
Josh Allen's been playing. I don't know if I was, I don't know who was picking that game. But anyway.
Was that not my pick?
I thought you just picked the Cowboys.
I thought I did too. I mean,
in that case, yes. Josh Allen has been playing well enough over the last 3 weeks that I'm going to say all of the things that I wanted to think about Josh Allen, I no longer think about Josh Allen. I think he's actually a pretty good quarterback.
He's halfway decent.
Another one! Spaghetti!
No, it wasn't me. It was the crowd.
Oh, the gang is weighing in.
That could put my eye out.
You're right. Thank goodness you survived.
How would I look doing a show with an eye patch?
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Thank goodness for that workout. I can't imagine what you look like without your workout. I'm with you, handsome. And
well,
again,
throw the flag then.
I'm not with you to that extent, but I'm with you on Josh Allen at least. I think that it's funny the way we decide things about certain guys, good or bad. And it was just decided that Josh Allen is like. Physical specimen, but he's not going to be able to put it together as a quarterback.
He's not putting it together.
Oh, he's putting it together.
Physical specimen or just arm strength?
Arm strength and physical. I mean, he's
6'5" and trucks guy.
He can run around. He can do all kinds of things.
He is, as I always say, he is if Cam Newton and Ben Roethlisberger had a baby. That's kind of
when you think of a Cam Newton or even a Christian McCaffrey. Physical specimen. Like, those dudes are shredded. Josh Allen, not shredded.
I don't know what he looks like with his shirt on.
You see him with sleeves out. He may not be doing the Cole Wright plan.
He may not be doing 3,000 sit-ups.
Well, I'm just saying, when you see...
needs to eat more turkey, but I'll say this.
High in protein.
Correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm forgetting somebody. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and I think that's it for guys who... just have that weird, like, Dan Marino. Like, he kind of is Dan Marino-y, too. Well, it's a little bit too much. But still, with his ability, when he just decides to pull the trigger, it's like it's up by his ear, and then it explodes out of his hand.
It's Pudge Rodriguez.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Down to second,
but more often than not now, it doesn't also go 11 yards over
and he doesn't
head.
Get intercepted either.
It's actually going straight to the receiver that he's trying to throw it to. The other thing is, on the flip side, the Cowboys... just feel, you know, the comments that Jerry Jones made earlier this week, just beginning to feel like things are maybe turning against Jason Garrett to the extent that trying to come back 4 days later and to win a game on tomorrow on Thanksgiving is going to be, I don't know if the Cowboys
I'd be with you, and that is the main part of my calculation.
So you're with me on two of the reasons that
my calculation is, I'm with you though, is that Jason Garrett has had his back to the wall like this before. Maybe not this bad, but they're still in first place. and they're back at home. And I, but the, yeah, the
too much pressure. Supposed to, Dave. I don't know if you've heard.
Would you say
this,
though, that Josh Allen is probably the second best quarterback of his draft
class?
Yes,
definitely.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, I think if you would, if you go back,
who's
in time,
number one for you, Bake or Donald?
Oh, come on. We're going to have a debate about this? Please. Obviously, it's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean,
30 seconds.
Spaghetti, yeah, just very quickly, Jason Garrett taking over the New York Football Giants in 2020. You excited?
That's what's happening. I'm going to have to find a new team to root for.
I love what? That they're people. That our pal Nick Costas. Our Nick Costa said the same thing, that would be it for. I love the idea.
What's the problem with that?
I'm tired of retreads. They tried the new coordinator with McAdoo. Didn't work. You're going to try Shermer again. I can tell you right now, newsflash, not going to work. So it's like, go for a Rule or Lincoln Riley or go hire Greg, throw a blank check
Jason
to Greg
Garrett's
Roman.
Garrett's a proven commodity.
I don't want Jason Garrett to just, like, he's a mediocre. Like, kind of like you were talking about. You lose a bunch of games, Jerry Jones gets angry, and he finds a way to get them back to that level and then lose a couple more. It's like a repeat process. I'm just, he won't connect to the younger team. I don't want anything to do with that. He's a joke. They don't, players don't take him seriously.
If they took the reject from their division rival,
I don't care if he's a giant back.
Quickly.
He's like, well, that would be terrible. Well, I completely agree.
It would also
agree.
Be the second time in that city that the team has taken a division rival's head coach that's proven to be not that exciting and installed him as their head coach.
I'm going to throw this flag at Spaghetti for calling Jason Garrett a joke.
Let's bring it on home here. Eddie Spaghetti, take it away. It's the Saints. It's the Falcons.
I mean, if anyone throws a flag at me, they're ridiculous. This is an easy Saints victory.
Okay. Well, you say that, but the Falcons did whip them in the Superdome 2 weeks ago. But I'm with you. We don't need to belabor that.
Me too.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Dave, I'm just going to stay here in your house until tomorrow and eat some turkey with you. Is that cool? Mm-hmm.
You're welcome to do that. And be on the lookout. Coming in spring of 2020.
Sometime soon.
If you're interested in a cold turkey franchise wherever you live, you can do that. In the meantime, we encourage you.
You could put your stuffing franchise with cold turkey.
Hey, how about it?
Together.
It could be like
get stuffed and cold turkey. You know, you could have like one of those things where
interesting.
Yeah.
I'll stick with Zaxby's. Thanks to them. Thanks to Handsome Hank, Cole Wright, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Have good times with your families and watch lots of football, eat lots of stuffing. We'll be back after week 13 to break it all down for you. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.